Hey Potters, welcome to episode 170 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Yay, 170, only 30 more until we reach 200.
And that only took us 6 years. Woo!
And many more as long as you guys are listening to and sharing the show. So consider that your incentive to keep sharing and enjoying the show.
And it's really interesting to watch how we've been growing more now than we have in past years, just watching where we're popping up. It's weird.
We popped up in South Africa. Do you guys understand how cool that is?
It's strange in a great way. I've had people starting to follow me on Instagram because of this show. Like, they will message me and say, oh my God, I really love the show. I listen to you guys. I'm like, why? You know, we're just two dorks talking about cosplay, right?
But it's really cool. And keep telling us that you listen to us because it means that we should keep doing the show.
Exactly.
All right, so let's go ahead and start off with cosplay updates. Now, I would like to briefly start with more mundane cosplay updates first. So, you know, setting aside our usual cosplay, we will actually be at ArlingCon next Saturday. So if you guys see us there, please say hi. We will film what we can and take pictures where we can't, and hopefully enjoy everything that they have to offer. And then we will go ahead and review that once we are finished in the episode that follows. The next weekend, we might be at the Dallas Makerspace Cosplay Contest and Expo, which is another event that is local to us. They're going to have free classes. We highly encourage you guys to go if you're local, as free classes are always a good thing. And we will, as usual, bring you what coverage we can and then go ahead and review it afterward. So if you are local to the Dallas area or will be here within the next 2 weeks, please say hello. All right. So with that said, I will let you begin since I see a lovely thing in the corner.
Yeah, there's a lovely thing behind me. I didn't want to have it as a distraction earlier. So there's a lovely thing. I have progress. I have many progress. I probably should have been smart and actually had the bodice up front, but I didn't do that mostly because I was concerned about my camera being goofy. So this is the part where I post photos of the nice bodice work that I have because we don't want goofy camera going on. All of my applique is done for the top. I still have to do the sleeve portion, which is going to take me a little bit of time because it's very detailed, nitpicky oriented, lots of curves and corners. So that's it. It's going to take me a while. I've got some of the sleeve construction going. This is not what their final look is going to be. They're actually going to be a lot poofier. And I can actually show more of the sleeves because I got these done just recently. And it's all fully lined too because, you know, reasons. But these were kind of fun and interesting. They're double stitched, which is, I was getting a little stir crazy with the straight lines for a while. But what I wanted to do with these, they're not exactly period accurate because they're actually supposed to be laced on this side accordingly to all the things I was reading, but they're not laced on the doll. So what I decided to do to kind of cheat the system is I've made it an elastic casing at the top, and this is basically where it's going to sit on my arm, and then that's where I'm going to sew the top, well, the bottom of the sleeve too, as well as the weird sleeve pieces. I don't even know what those things are called. They're just weird sleeve pieces. I don't know what they are. We're just going to go with that. But yeah, at least this part is done. It's ready to go. It's just a matter of getting the rest of it taken care of, and I can stitch it all together, and then we're good. I still need to get the lacing on the back all lined up with the top. I've actually been working on getting the skirt portion done first just to make sure that I have everything proportioned correctly, and I need to take in the sides of my bodice first because everything basically sits underneath the bodice, like right at my waist. So I don't want to make the bodice too tight in that area and be uncomfortable for me. I still want to be able to be comfortable in it because this does not have any type of boning. I went for as much period accuracy as I could on this, which meant they only use stiff fabric or some type of interfacing. So this thing is just interfaced. It sits really nicely. I like the look of it. It came out great. But because it doesn't have boning, I can't really bend in certain ways. So it's going to be very flat in a lot of areas, which is fine because Snow White's kind of flat in those areas. It's cool with me, but I'm also trying to be wary of not making it too tight along the waist. So that's kind of an ongoing project. I'm waiting on fabric for the bottom to come in so I can finish off that piece. And then it's just nothing but applique, rhinestones, and some light embroidery. And then I'll be done with this beast, in theory. And the only other thing is that today I just started working on her little hair bow. Just little piece here that I'm working on, just interfacing, got to stitch up the sides so it's all nice and pretty because I like top stitching. And then in all the shininess and greatness, and then I'm just going to make a simple little hair band, which that one I'll probably cheat on and use Velcro on the back as an attachment so that way I can take it easily on and off my wig, and that could be washed separately. I don't want that to be stuck in the wig permanently. That's just grody after a while. And yeah, I think that's really all I've been working on. But it doesn't seem like I've gotten a lot done, but I have gotten a lot done because it's just a lot of detail work and being very meticulous with everything. That's the hard part, is just being very meticulous. Last time, Amber will tell you, is I was cutting out a lot of these designs just before we started recording. So it's nice to have them on the garment and done. And now I can like, okay, let's move on to the next phase.
Checking off a checklist is very satisfying.
Yeah. And I'm very much a checklist person. You can kind of see it over in the corner. I have two small whiteboards on my door, and they usually are just costume related. So like the bottom board is nothing but Snow White. And as I'm working through it, I'm just marking things off the list. It also feels really nice. Like you feel like you've accomplished something when you've crossed it off. You're like, oh, I'm making progress. Even if you don't see it, you're like, I've made progress. All right.
All right.
That's it for me.
So guess what I have for progress?
Stuff?
What do I always have?
I'm going to guess it's something. Oh, look. Look at that.
It's a pile of fabric.
It's a pile of fabric.
I always have a pile of fabric as my progress, or at least as
you really
part of my
do.
Progress. So I have to be careful because there are pins in this that I don't want to knock out since I have bare feet at the moment. But this is the underdress, which I am finally finishing off the edges of, because unfortunately a crepe, if you've never worked with it, has all these terrible fraying bits everywhere. So I am finishing off the hems. This is a double rolled French hem.
Nice.
It was not originally that way, but basically all I'm doing with the raw edges is I'm just taking a strip of fabric that I cut, stitching it to the edge, double rolling this, and then stitching the two halves together. So it ends up being a double rolled French hem, even though that's not quite what I was after, but this way I don't have to bag line it. Because this is already quite hefty, and this isn't even with the overdress. This is just the underdress. And it's gonna have a bunch of stuff that sits on top of it, and I didn't want it to get too heavy. Although, unfortunately, this is a little more transparent than I would like, so I'm probably going to have a petticoat or something underneath it, both to give it body and to hide, you know, the sensitive bits down under, because I really don't need people seeing my underwear. So there is that. I'm actually finishing the chest portion right now, is the last part. And so I'm hand basting it in place. Since there are a ton of curves, of course, if you've ever seen the white underdress that Zelda wears, there's curves and hard edges everywhere. I'm learning just how much of a project this really is. I've been working on this for a little while on and off. There's a lot of stuff. So there is that. And then, of course, speaking of cutting things out, you guys saw me cutting, you know, my foam out last time. And I have now a finished circlet.
Nice.
So it will, you can see my glowing green gems. Yeah, these are actually a tulip for a long time when bedazzling was a thing. If that doesn't, you know, mark my age. If you guys know what bedazzling is, good job. They sold a bunch of little clear plastic gems that are absolutely just see-through. They're completely clear. There's no color to them whatsoever. There's no foil backing, in other words. You can see all the way through the gem. So you paint the back with a little bit of nail polish and it becomes that color. So that's basically what I did on these. I had a bunch of leftover gems that I've had for probably almost a decade now. I haven't used them up because I haven't needed them. But yep. So my circlet is done. Much easier to have in foam. I've noticed that that one is much less liable to break than my poor, sad styrene that I still have the pieces of. So I'm going to take my little bungee cords, my elastic, off and unfortunately send my styrene to the sad place where unwanted cosplays go. I will attach these to my crown. Because when you wear this stuff with wigs, you generally want to be able to put it on and take it off fairly quickly. So elastic cord helps a lot in that regard. But what I really wanted to show you guys
is here it comes. Here it comes. We're waiting. Anticipation. It's building. I'm still waiting.
I have to be careful because the clasp is not actually glued down.
Oh, good gravy, lady.
There's that.
Oh my god.
I gotta turn the hood over because I also did the hood.
Nice! I'm glad you did the hood. Yay!
So this is the Bolero portion of my Rogue. It is completely done. I just need to stitch down the clasp, but it's fully lined. All the gems are attached. Everything's dry. It's done.
Nice.
The skirt is actually done too, but there's nothing to see since it's literally a circle of fabric with a zipper in it. So I'm not going to show that off because it doesn't have anything pretty yet.
Incoming. Phil made a comment that the circlet works really well with your current
top.
Yes,
thank you. It is actually the same. The gems are actually the same color as my top. Unfortunately, this is a pajama top, which is not something that is usually advised to wear to fair. Otherwise, you get some really weird looks from the playtrons there. Or I guess it would be playtrons, not playtrons. Basically, they're the actors at fair. They do tend to give you a little bit of a funny look, and they'll play with you more if you're not in garb. Not to mention, I probably wouldn't be wearing this to Ren Fair in the fall, because hopefully it's going to be 60 degrees instead of 100, which is what it is right now.
One could only hope.
Yes.
Because Texas.
So, I don't think I have it next to me.
I like that she's it's almost like she has Mary Poppins bag. She's constantly just pulling things off from the side.
Yes. That's because I have to keep them all next to me, because otherwise everything else is literally on the other side of the room, like a good 15 feet from me. So I'd have to basically take my headset off and go get it. So I have to have everything next to me. But I finished tracing the pattern that goes on the bottom of Zelda's dress, the weird, almost fleur-de-lis looking thing that goes on the bottom. So that's actually my next step. But I couldn't do that until I had hemmed the dress to make sure that everything was the right distance from the bottom, because I have to place the pattern a certain distance from the hem. So just to make sure everything worked out, I have to finish hemming all my raw edges first. Then you're going to hate me. I'm going to trace it directly on the dress, and then I have to paint it and fill it in.
You're going to do it with pen, aren't you?
Probably.
No!
I can't paint it. I can't paint that black line freehand because it's inconsistent.
I'm making very unfortunate motions on my end because it hurts me. Like, I can do pen on muslin because the whole point is, you know, it's your mock-up. You do it to make your pattern.
I know.
That hurts. I mean, I understand why. I get it. I 100% understand. It just hurts.
It'll be a nice pen. It'll be a paint pen. You know, it'll be a silver paint pen. But yes, it's going to be pen. So that will be my next step. And then basically I just have to assemble everything. And that's going to be a lot of doing. I also have to install the zipper into the overdress. I found out that I can slip the underdress on over my head. It doesn't need a zipper. The opening is wide enough that I just... The overdress, unfortunately, has a slightly smaller opening, and Amber has a big head. So I can't just pull it on over my head without straining the seams a little bit. So I have to install the zipper. But other than that, you know, I've made really good progress on it. I do need to figure out what the heck I'm going to do with the gems and the armor.
Is it just a matter of placing it, or do you not know how many you want to use?
I know how many I want to use. It's more figuring out like what sort of design I want to do with it, because I'm doing an original take on it. I'm not doing exactly what they did with a Twilight Princess. So I need to decide what color scheme I'm going with. Because I'm doing a slightly lighter purple version, basically, of everything. And I don't necessarily want to go with the the same colors that they used, because I'm not doing the same color scheme on the apron either. So if I want different colors than what I have, which are red and blue, then I have to cast them. And I don't currently have the casting materials. So I would need to get those as well. I do have some mod melts. Unfortunately, they are not transparent.
I don't
know how much they tell you they are.
They're not really transparent.
They're not. So it's either cast them myself or I have to go purchase plastic blanks from a supplier. And those can be notoriously hard to find simply because if you just look for plastic domes, they tend to be very tall. And you don't want tall ones. You want gem quality, which are very short and flat. And if you look for those, most of the time they're not plastic. People will happily sell them to you in glass. And it's like, no, that makes your costume really heavy. So yeah, I will be working on those things. Unfortunately, my rogue won't be finished for ArlingCon. That would have been cool, but I need to get the boning, and that just needs to wait a little bit longer.
It'll be a nice casual event for us while we're busy working.
Yes. All right, so that is all the updates that we have for you guys. So we're going to move on to the main body of the show, and we're actually really excited to share this with you guys because it is phenomenal. We actually have an interview with Alpaca Ash. She is one of the members of the 2015 World Cosplay Summit team, and she was also a participant in TwitchCon, and we had the privilege of interviewing her, and we wanted to go ahead and share that with you guys. So enjoy. Hey Potters, we've got a special treat for you guys today. We have a guest with us. This is Alpaca Ash. She is half of the World Cosplay Team Summit, or the World Cosplay Summit Team USA 2015. They were the runner-up and second place winner of the Brother Award as well, and third place winner for TwitchCon's inaugural cosplay contest. And we're really excited to have her here. So Ash, if you would like to introduce yourselves to the audience and tell them a little about your cosplay.
Sure. Well, hi, my name is Ashley. I go by Alpaca Ash on most social media. Also Alpa Cosplay, so that's on Facebook. So I've been cosplaying since 2001. So I am cosplay grandma. Yeah. My first convention was Anime Fest. So it's actually become a pretty huge Dallas convention. When I started, it was like 1,500 people, like when I started going. So I first found out about cosplay my freshman year of high school. And when I found out it was a thing, a friend of mine had cosplayed. She showed me a picture of a costume her mom made, and it was Sailor Venus. And I had been dreaming of wearing like a Sailor Moon costume, like, well before I even knew cosplay was a thing. So as soon as I saw that picture, I was like, oh my gosh, people do this. People go and cosplay at conventions. And I was just so floored. And so I kept like thinking like, okay, well, how can I get into this? How can I cosplay? And I didn't really start sewing for myself until probably around 2004. So before that I was doing a lot of closet/ thrift store cosplays. My very first cosplay was Catra from Gundam Wing. So it was entirely from the thrift store. So yeah.
Best thing ever. Oh my God. Sorry, I had to do that.
No, that's all right. That's all right. So since then, you know, I did that, then started learning how to sew, and was doing about one cosplay, maybe a year for a few years. And then, I had to take a break for college, and then I came back in 2012, 13, and 13, I decided I'm going to make big stuff and started competing. And like Amber said, I ended up doing World Cosplay Summit 2015 with my cosplay partner, Yami Gamora. And we placed third overall in Japan and won the Brother Award. And then I did TwitchCon in 2016. So that's kind of the most recent, I think, awards that I've been doing. I know it's like already been 2 years, but you know, it's how it goes. And you know, life happens. So I'm still cosplaying. I'm just haven't competed in a bit. So hopefully that will change soon.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I am moving.
And being an adult.
Being an adult and moving across the country.
So speaking of making these big elaborate cosplays, which these things are elaborate if you guys have not seen them, there is a ton of stuff that goes into making them. Do you have a set process that you go through when making cosplay from, you know, like the initial sketches to the finished product?
Yeah, for sure. I have it on my desk here, but I am a list person. That is like my main thing that I do. Like this is a very short list, but I always do, like, I break down cosplay. I obviously I get the reference images and do all the research, but once I get all that done, I break down everything by what object it is. And then from there, like if it's like a giant dress, like for the case of my TwitchCon costume, which is a big giant sparkly dress, I knew that I wanted to make all the undergarments too. So I put those on a list and I started from the inside and go out. So usually that's kind of how I think, is what is going to depend on the thing first. So if you have a costume that has like a colored shirt, then I want that first. And then anything going on over that, I will then make that, because all of that is going to affect the costume all the way to the end. So that's generally my main thing, is a lot of lists and breaking things down and trying to see if I can schedule, if I'm under schedule, which it, I mean, let's be real here. I don't think I've ever stuck to schedule ever on cosplay, like ever. So, you know, people who know me joke, like, you're, why do you even try? Like, you think you can do more in smaller amounts of can. And that's true. So I'm sure there are people who handle it way better than me, but that's not me. I bite off more than I can chew.
That's where the list comes in handy.
Yeah. And I prioritize too. It's like, what can I get away with starting? Like, what do I need to start on first? What is absolutely necessary? And then what's stuff that I can do later? Or do I actually need this? Maybe not.
So kind of building off of that, what do you consider to be the most important aspect of cosplay?
Most important part easily is having fun. That is the most absolute important thing, because I have been down the road of overstressing myself. Not to go super like too real or anything, but I'm going to get a little real. When I competed for TwitchCon, that was, I found out about it in June. I tried to make the Astrologian and it was essentially 3.5 months. And that was just not enough time. And the entire time I'm making this, I just know it's not enough time. And the entire time I'm just so stressed. I love the costume and I still like the costume. I love the design ever since I saw it, but it just really affected my my mental health a lot. And I actually had really bad mental issues after TwitchCon, because I actually just kept it all inside. And then by the time TwitchCon was done, I just had a lot of recovery to do. So I actually had really bad anxieties, particularly right after. So after that was definitely a huge learning experience for me, in the sense that I got into this because I wanted to dress up like fake characters that I loved. You know, why am I doing this to myself? So yeah, that was the thing where I'm like, okay, I'm never doing that to myself ever again. It's not worth it to do that to yourself. Cosplay is supposed to be fun. Even if you're competing, there can be a lot riding on the line, but honestly, at the end of the day, it's your mental health, your physical health is not worth sacrificing for that. So So I'm trying to get back into the roots of why I started in the first place recently. So apologies, that was like way too real, but like, it's something that I like to talk about, because it's really easy to fall into that realm of, oh, I have to get this costume has to be this way for this convention. And, you know, it's like, you don't have to do that to yourself. Even for Akon, I rewore the Astrologian and I wanted to remake parts of it, and I got to update it a little bit, but I actually didn't finish a couple props I wanted. And I just said, you know what? Like, I'll wear this costume again. it's totally fine. It's still like nobody's going to notice, like, except other Astrologian cosplayers. They'll probably notice, like, hey, she's missing that one piece. But honestly, that doesn't make the pictures that I got from Akon any less pretty. So I can wear the costume again. It's okay. So breathe.
Fun and breathing. So very important.
Yeah, fun and make sure just to breathe.
We'll move just a little bit into World Cosplay Summit, which, for those who don't know, is an international cosplay competition that takes place in Japan every year. Usually it's around August. So,
yep, summer.
Yes. So where did the decision come from to compete at World Cosplay Summit?
Yeah, so my story into WCS is I first heard about it in 2013, and that is when I first started wanting to do like really big costumes. And that year I found out about it actually through a mutual friend. She goes by, she's a part of Sexy Cosplay. That's a two person group, and WCS is, you compete as two person teams. And so I met Sexy Cosplay at Akon that year. That's the first year I competed at Akon, and they were wearing their World Cosplay Summit costumes in that at that contest, because they had competed and they didn't win the title and they hadn't won any awards. So they're like, we'll compete again. And so they were wearing Gonkutsuo. And so me, I love that anime. So I like sidled up to them and I was like, hey guys, like, you guys look really cool and I love that anime. And so they were obviously wonderful and sweet. And I kind of felt like they were the gateway drug into just the bigger world for me for cosplay. And that's how I found out about where Cosplay Summit was through them. And so that year, Cupcake Cosplay, they were Team USA, and they did their Alice in the Country of Hearts skit, which was, when I saw that skit, like, my mind was absolutely just blown. I had never seen a skit like that before. And so I got to watch their journey through the event, what they posted online. And I definitely had the stars in my eyes. I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's just super cool. They're competing. And then they won second in the Brother Award. And it was just really, really neat. So they were huge inspiration for me. And along with all my friends who had competed before. And so at that point I was just like, I know I want to do it. I want to try for it. I just need to find somebody crazy enough to do it with me, because it's a lot of work. And so I actually didn't have the chance to compete until 2015, because I hadn't really met anybody who was really free to do it. Some people already had partners, and some people weren't in the right, weren't in the right timing for them, you know? And so in 2014, I actually met Yami Gamora. We actually used to work together. And so I actually met her there. And at one point, like, I had heard that she was a cosplayer, because I was at the company first. And so I was actually there at her interview, or part of one of her interviews. So I knew she cosplayed from that, because she mentioned it. And I was like, ooh, cosplayer, what? Hey. And I creepily like looked up her cosplay page and liked it, started following her. I told her that, like, she knows this happened. And then when she started at the company and I hadn't really gotten a chance to talk to her, we saw each other from across the break room, and people kept telling her, hey, you need to talk to Ashley. She's a cosplayer too. And everyone's like, you need to talk to Sarah or Yabi Gabora. So, like, she's a cosplayer too. And so we, our eyes like locked, and then we started chatting, and she had mentioned World Cosplay Summit, that she had actually, she was actually planning on competing, and then she had to find a new job. So, she didn't get to compete in 2014 either. So then we're like, hey, maybe we should try it together. And so we started coming up with ideas, and the idea we ended up going with was like our very first idea, but we definitely threw around a lot of other ideas. And so we ended up going with Ice Kiss. And actually before that, we did kind of a trial run together. We did a skit at Anime Fest, and we wanted to try to see if we could like work together, which is actually something I highly recommend before you do a big competition like that, is if you're going to compete with somebody, especially if it's the first time and you're still like new as a team, like definitely do kind of a trial run somewhere. And so luckily Anime Fest was the perfect timing. We did a Madoka skit, and so we actually won Best in Show, which was really cool. I think that was my very first time winning Best in Show. I think. Yeah. Well, cause I technically didn't win Best in Show at AKON the previous year. I won Best in my division, but they didn't have a Best in Show that year. So it was whatever. Anyway, random tangent. So we ended up competing together at Anime Fest, and we pulled together stuff together like really nicely in a month. Won Best in Show, and I'm like, cool. Okay. I think we can do this. So we started planning and started working on stuff. Funny thing is we kept joking because this is our very first time both actually competing in World Cosplay Summit. And usually how it's been in the past few years is that your very first try, you usually don't, like, it's very rare for somebody to win on their very, very first try. So we were the entire time, we're like, okay, we're just going to go for it. We're going to try it. If this doesn't work, we'll try again. And when we won our prelim, we're like, okay, cool. We're not done with the skit. We're going to keep working on it. Surely this next one, this will be the last time we have to do it. And then for finals, we're like, okay, last time. This is the last time we're going to do it. And then when they announced this as Team USA, we're like, wait, what? We're not done. Okay. So we didn't expect to win. It is kind of what I'm getting at is we weren't expecting to win. We were expecting to see some, like, see somebody else who'd been competing longer. So yeah, it was a total surprise. We were completely surprised because our skit didn't quite go as entirely rehearsed. It wasn't like a train wreck, but there were some things that some people you wouldn't necessarily notice, but stuff that it could, like, part of my costume was like a little messed up, but nobody could really see it because I could feel it though. So anyway, random tangent again, but yeah, so that's kind of how I got into World Cosplay Summit. Just a couple of years of kind of waiting for the right person to show up in my life. And it was kind of like, I was just kind of like hoping and praying that somebody I would meet or would become available. And yeah, it just kind of happened. So, kind of feel like I stumbled into it in some ways.
It's always interesting because we've interviewed a couple of WCS winners as well as cosplayers who competed, and the stories of how the teams come together are always crazy. And it's just like our eyes yeah. locked, and we knew the moment that we saw each other that we were going to be together as cosplayers.
Yeah.
All right. So, what was the process like in making the costumes and competing both nationally and internationally for this event? Because you guys didn't make just the one costumes for the event; you had multiple costumes.
We had too many. Okay. So let me just say this: our original idea. So our skit had a total of 5 costumes. Because we decided that if we were going to do a quick change skit, we were going to do a quick change skit. We wanted it to be like multiple costumes. Like, that is the gimmick. That is the whole thing. And Paradise Kiss is perfect for that because it's all about fashion. Well, I mean, that's not the whole point of the, yeah, it's coming of age story, but it has fashion in it. So we originally had 7 costumes planned. And then we kind of slowly realized that maybe that's not the best idea. 5 was enough. We ended up cutting out. I was supposed to, let's see, I had 3. I was supposed to have 4. Or was I supposed to have 5?
Oh, good Lord.
No, I was supposed to have 4. And then Yami Gamora was supposed to have 3. So we cut out 1 for each of us. So I had
a lot of changing though.
Yeah, it was too many changings. So when we were trying to plan this out, it was definitely like, obviously I had mock-ups on my end, and the whole idea was that we knew we wanted to have the big dress reveal. We took a lot of inspiration from we actually looked at a lot of quick change acts, like magic acts. So a lot of our inspiration came from that. And there's some Broadway shows that also use quick changes. So we I mean, I felt like it was really beneficial to us because we actually like looked outside of the cosplay realm and actually looked at other areas for inspiration, which I think is like anytime you do any kind of art, I feel like it's a really good idea to look at books, movies, theater, just other kinds of performances, just to get an idea of like what's been done, like what's out there, and you get inspired by really weird things and you'd never expect it. I mean, and of course getting inspiration from other cosplayers is great too. Like there's no shame in that at all. So that was kind of the first step. It was, we were looking at other areas outside of cosplay, other performances. We knew we wanted it to be funny. So we knew that kind of how we joke about it is that the main point of our skit is we wanted to run around and make Muppet faces and flail. That was kind of like the main like idea of the tone. So that also does translate into, okay, well, how do we need to make these costumes? How do they need to function? So I kind of, going back to what I mentioned earlier about starting from the base and working out, we knew where we wanted to end up. We wanted to end up with the blue dress. So a lot of it was, okay, how do we make that happen? What needs to go underneath? What needs to go on top? How can we fit all these together? And I'm not going to go into like too many details about like how our quick changes work, just because if Yummy were here, then maybe, but you know, it's like, I don't want to talk about it without her here. You know, it's kind of like that magician secret thing. It was definitely a lot of back and forth and, trying to puzzle piece them together. And some of the solutions we came up with weren't even necessarily, like, were just ideas that we had, and just using different things we knew about like how fabric worked, and like structure. Like I took a lot of inspiration during a couple of my changes for like how bodices are structured. That helped me out a lot with just using like non-stretchy material for certain things. I'm trying to think of what else I can say. Here's one. Like when we were designing a lot of the costumes, there are certain things that we couldn't actually accomplish like accurately. So the final version of Yukari in the giant blue dress, she has braids everywhere. Like she has braids like wrapped around her, like around her wrists. Like there's no way that I could start as a uniform Yukari and end in the ball gown with those braids. Like I might've been able to like hide braids somewhere, but like I couldn't do like all the way around the wrists or whatever and still be in a school uniform. So there were things we had to kind of edit out for just function. So that was, there was a huge balance with function versus accuracy. And I couldn't, like she has special shoes that they make a kind of a big deal about in the manga and the anime, but I had to wear like little black shoes for the school uniform because that's when you actually see my feet. So I had to start with her normal straight hair, and we kind of, you know, we added like the hair crown and the necklace at the end. So we got some of that idea in there, but there were certain things we had to cut out. And then another thing was thinking about footwear. That was a big, big, big deal for us, is making sure that we were wearing footwear that was as accurate as we could get, but then also stuff that we could run around in, because in Japan especially, that was the biggest stage we were on. The very first run through, I was legit out of breath. The very first time we ran through it and during a rehearsal, we had never had that much space before. Even we've been practicing in my living room, and we did the run through a few times out in my backyard. Couldn't do it too much because it was too hot, but yeah, trying to get an idea of that scale was really hard, but it was like, I posted the picture of the shoes like right after championships. Those shoes were torn up. So footwear was a huge, huge deal for us. And we practiced in our shoes. We practiced in our wigs a lot, because especially if you have a long wig and you're running around a lot and you're needing to like use your hands on stuff, like that, those wigs will get in the way. Like Yummy's wig was like this giant like frame of curly hair. And like, even one point she got like, there's a part where she throws clothes up in the air, and she had a problem where she had a bra that she would throw. And she actually got the bra like caught in her hair during one of our run throughs. And I have video of it, like not of like the bra, but like we're doing the run through, and she goes, ah, she just like screams. She's like, I can't get it out. So one day we need to post, we have a lot of rehearsal videos. So, cause we recorded ourselves, running through the skit a lot. So, I think that, I don't know if that answers the question about costumes, but, let me take it back to like the construction side. Since a lot of it was functionality, and that was like a really important balance. One thing about that I actually really liked, like a solution that I had for my dress, was in the context of the anime and the manga, the dress is actually hand beaded. So they actually make the dress in the show, and they actually show them making it, and they're actually hand beading it, and that's like this big deal. And most people do, when they make this dress, they hand bead it. And I've seen people use rhinestones, and looking into all the different solutions for how to do it, I realized that both of those would probably be a really bad idea, because it's a very specific design that's all over the dress. So I actually opted to do embroidery instead, and I embroidered all my flowers and with like a metallic thread that was very reflective, and it was pretty much like tinsel. And the reasoning being is that the way the changes worked, my dress was going under a lot of stress, and if I had glued rhinestones, those rhinestones would be falling off like easily. Like having like rhinestones like peppered around is not a big deal if one falls off, but if it's a specific pattern, like yeah, that's a big deal. And then beading was a similar problem, is that thread gets knocked loose, those beads are coming off. So just by stitching the design on, like that made a huge like help, and it kept the dress really light, which weight limit is a thing in this competition. Like you have to keep everything, including your costumes and your set and your props, all together have to weigh like no more than, I think, 80 pounds, I think it's 80. It might've changed, but it's like all, everything combined can't weigh more than a certain amount. So we were concerned about weight. We ended up being nowhere near the weight with our stuff. But, so those are the kind of things we were thinking about when we were making all these costumes. I could probably talk about it for days. So
with all of this, how do you find cosplaying in a pair different than cosplaying solo, since you guys had to work basically hand in hand for the entirety of this?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was actually a huge thing for us, is we wanted especially our final versions of our costumes, is we wanted them to look like they fit together. And so we actually had a lot of things that called back to each other in our costumes that I thought were really, really neat. Yummy's jacket is a very similar teal to my dress. And we had, we did different embellishment styles just to keep them unique, but we were definitely very cognizant of how they would look together. So I think that was like a huge thing for us, is when you're making a costume, especially a group, you want everything to look cohesive, especially you don't have to do it cohesive if you don't want to, it's just for fun. You know, if it's just for fun, it's like, whatever, have fun with it. But that was something that was important to us, is we wanted to hit a certain look. And so it was a lot of, we made a Facebook group where it was just us two. We were sharing costume ideas. Like, when we were trying to pick which quit changes to do, we had Pinterest boards of like all the different Paradise Kiss outfits. And so a lot of brainstorming together. And for me personally, I actually really love working in groups. I love collaboration. Just because I feel like I'm more creative when I'm in a group, because I have people to bounce ideas off of, and other people just inspire me. So it's, working in a vacuum, I'm, I'm pretty extroverted, so I think that's kind of why I'm more of a like, oh yes, please, let's do groups. And all my favorite, exception of one costume, all my favorite costumes have been done with groups or like my WCS stuff, and then collaborations. So those are when I always have the most fun. Is, you know, I mean, there is something to be said about just locking yourself in your craft room and then just going and just being yourself. Like, I do enjoy that. I do. But I think when I'm wearing the costume, I have more fun if I'm with somebody else. We just dork around together.
All right, so we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about TwitchCon. Especially speaking of TwitchCon's cosplay contest is so different in how you sign up for it and prepare for it. So how did the process with creating and streaming challenge you compared to other contests?
Yeah. So I think it actually really relates to what I was just talking about, where TwitchCon, it's like you're working on something by yourself, but not really. And the challenge I felt like with streaming is I love streaming. Like, getting to work on stuff with people, like hanging out with you, is really cool. And I haven't had a chance to stream as much lately, but I need to get back into it. So anyway, but the challenge with streaming is, like, there's all the technology side, you know, getting your sound right, making sure you have the computer that can actually stream. So there's like that added hurdle in there. But then also when you're actually streaming and trying to create, like, it actually kind of slows things down a little bit, just because you're also needing to interact with people, and it's a better stream in general when you're creating, but you're talking about what you're doing, and then you're also looking at the chat and interacting, and, you know, acknowledge, like, it's nice when somebody acknowledges a comment you say, you know, and you're interacting with your audience. So it adds an additional, like, amount of work to it, which is really neat. It's definitely not something that I disliked. I actually really enjoy streaming and creation at the same time. It's you know, I've made friends, like, through streaming, and my chat is a really great chat. Like, they're all the people who regularly come to my stream are really great. I love all of them. So it's just like, I will say that it is, like, really, really cool, especially when you get a really active stream and everyone's just kind of chatting. And, like, I think one of my during TwitchCon, so for Astro, I did a multi-step dying process, and I streamed a lot of hours of just, like, doing resin on the skirt pieces, and it was like, it's painting glue, like, that is, like, legit what it is. Like, I'm using glue for a resist, and I had a really active chat. I'm like, why am I having a super active chat for just a super repetitive thing? But it's really nice when you're doing something really, really repetitive or kind of tedious, and so you have, like, company doing it. So that's really, really neat. And they put, they say that they want you to stream a minimum amount, but honestly, it goes by super fast. So, like, you stream for, like, you're if you think about how long you're in your craft room, like, it's hardly a drop in the bucket for what you spend on a costume. I would say just interacting with people and then sharing your process is really cool. I really enjoy doing it. I love watching. I really love watching creative streams. I need to watch more. I haven't watched as many as I wanted to lately. But it's so cool you actually learn stuff. And so it's kind of a way to help teach people stuff that you might know, and then you can also learn. So I think that Twitch Creative is super cool.
Well, we're going to move into a little bit of a lightning round for some of our grab bag questions.
Oh, lightning round.
Ones that we ask all of our cosplayers.
Nice, so, nice.
What is your favorite material to work with and your least favorite material to work with?
Okay, so I'll go ahead and give... Okay, so fabric-wise, cotton sateen is, like, a freaking dream. It's somewhat shiny. It presses super nice. It can handle a lot. And since it's cotton, you just turn that iron all the way up and just go super great. It has a wonderful sheen. The drape's great. And I'm going to cheat and also say leather, because I'm just now getting into leather and I absolutely love it. And it's A plus. And least favorite. I love and hate silk. I will say that. Silk can look nice, but you have to iron it in a weird, like a, you have to just get everything wet to iron it. It just like, eh. So it's like, that's kind of a love hate one. And absolutely hate vinyl. I'll probably say I hate vinyl. Like I can, I will sew. I love sewing leather, like, but sewing vinyl, I don't know what, I hate vinyl. I've had really bad experiences with vinyl. I think that's probably why.
Nothing wrong with that.
Magic Knight Rare Earth, I made vinyl vinyl boots, and it was the worst idea possible. Don't do it. Don't.
Why does it seem like every cosplayer that we talk to who's done a Rare Earth costume has had a bad experience? I have not, and I've made a Rare Earth, but everyone else has.
It's because I was trying to do armor. I think that's the... I was trying to do wearable armor, I think, for the first time, and I was trying to cast resin gems, and I was trying to cast them in those plastic...
Yeah,
those plastic globes, and they wouldn't come out. So that was where my awful times came. And just poor fabric. I had poor fabric choices for like all the non-fabric parts. So like I've made a couple school uniforms from Rare Earth. Had a total great time. I love my Umi uniform. I made like a really nice, like I'm really proud of that blazer. Like I bagged the lining and everything. I learned about bagging lining and it was great. I hand tacked like all the lining. It was great. But yeah. Yeah, Rare Earth is curse.
It kind of is at this point, yeah.
I'm determined to do a cosplay, like another Rare Earth cosplay with a group and just have it be nice and relaxing. So it's going to happen. I'm determined.
All right, so the next question we have is, if you had unlimited resources, what is your dream costume?
Okay, so it's going to happen. I have my dream costume. It is going to absolutely happen. It is King Dedede. It is like the most absolute opposite of anything I think I've ever made. But I want to make a King Dedede so bad. So it's, I'm going to build it where he'll be as high as me, but just wider. And I want to make the face actually like animate.
Oh, so, cool.
So I want to make, you know, obviously I'd make his giant hammer. So it'd be a giant, like, foam suit. Second one is actually, this one actually is more of a very out there dream, is doing Kodo-sensei from Assassination Classroom. He's the giant smiley face guy. I want to make that, but I want to make it to where I can change his face, like change it somehow. Like, I don't know, it'd be some kind of weird, like, giant orb that has, like, a screen. I don't know. I don't know how I'd do that one. So that one's probably more in the realm of like may not ever happen, but DDD will happen. Like it is going to happen. I'm doing it. I'm going to lounge in all of the convention centers.
I love it.
So.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm weird. I'm like, I'll make a giant ball gown now. I want to make this weird penguin.
It shows that you're diverse.
Well, that's a nice way to put it.
All right. So what is one piece of advice you would give to new cosplayers?
So I would say, obviously, nowadays it's a lot easier to, you know, find information and find supplies and stuff like that. But I would say don't worry necessarily about how good you are starting out. Like, never worry about that. Just worry about having fun, being excited about making your first cosplay, and just really aim to have fun and not worry. If it's not perfect, that's okay. Like, it's nothing I have ever made has ever been perfect. Not a dang thing has ever been perfect. Like, I can go into the Astro and I can show you all the really messed up janky stuff that's in that costume. But it's all about kind of the big picture, you know, just kind of look at it as like this is the thing I'm going to make. And if you have fun, then, you know, I feel like you've hit a good goal. If you can just have fun. And also for the first cosplay, don't go too crazy. Don't try to overwhelm yourself unless you have just like a ton of time. Like, I don't recommend trying to make like a Black Knight from Final Fantasy or something. Like, you know, I mean, unless, hey, some people can do that. Like I won't knock anybody for trying that out, but I would say try to stick with something simple just to start out with, just to kind of get a feel for it. See if you really like it. And then once you figure out that, oh yeah, this is what I want to do, then you can start throwing yourself at like the crazy stuff. Cause it is time and it can be a lot of money. So.
All right. And then our last question is going to be, what advice would you give to cosplayers looking to enhance or to take their cosplay to the next level?
Ooh, that's a really good question. So what I would say, honestly, I feel like most of the times where I've been disappointed or felt like I fell short is because I didn't have enough time. And that is a big thing that I think would help a lot of people just make stuff that they're probably even more proud of, is if you just give yourself more time. Say if you want to start, like for me personally, if I was going to compete in TwitchCon again, I would start at least a year before. And just having that time just is so, so beneficial, because you have time to say you stitch something together and the fit isn't quite right. You can just undo it and do it again, or you might have to recut out your fabric. But if you're under a super crazy deadline, you don't have time to really do that, which that's happened to me. like the fit isn't quite right. I just got to keep going. But that's still essentially something that is like not the best it could be in the costume. But if you had the time, you could make it that way. And like I've actually been revisiting Astrologian and trying to go back into it and update things and make things better. And I'm already way happier with the costume now that I've revisited it. I would have realized that maybe the material I had to use not strong enough material for the hat the first time around. So the hat by the end of the time just fell flat. Now it's made out of heavy buckram and I just reinforced the crap out of it. And now it's super sturdy and I like the look of it better. So that's what I would definitely say, is give yourself time, because nobody starts out lightning fast. There are a few of them. There are a few of them out there that do builds in a week, and they're machines, but I'm not that person.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for being with us today on the show. We were really glad to have you, and this has a wealth of information that I think cosplayers can really benefit from.
Before you leave, you have to give your spiel. Where can people follow you?
Oh, right. So I'm mainly on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find me. It's at Alpaca Ash on all three. And I think if you search for Alpa Cosplay on Facebook, I'll pop up there on that as well. So I like alpacas a lot. Oh, I mean, you can see them. They're in here.
Right. there's a hefty collection.
Yeah, there's some. I actually don't have as many as you've seen on some people have a way. I don't have a crazy collection compared to some people. So, but yeah, so those are my main things. But yeah, come say hi. And I'm always open for questions. If there's something you guys want to know more about, like WCS or TwitchCon, just feel free to hit me up. I'm all about sharing knowledge. And if you need me to explain something I said earlier better, totally, just hit me up.
We really hope you guys enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun for us, and it was a wealth of information for you guys. There was a lot to parse in that interview, and it was all good information.
We're really thankful for Alpaca Ash for giving us her time to actually do this. We've been wanting to do this for a while, just could never get our schedules to sync up, but we got it to work. Yay!
Cosplayers are always busy people.
Especially when you're an adult.
Yes. Adults with day jobs and families.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, we have a few more of those planned for you guys in the future. We've already gotten commitments from a few people, which we're going to keep, you know, notoriously secret, simply because we want to surprise you guys.
It's fun surprising people.
Yes, but we have other interviews coming down the pike, and we've also got additional content planned for you guys. So you'll definitely be hearing more of that in the near future. But otherwise, unless we have anything else.
That's all from us today.
All right. So hopefully you guys would like to give us your feedback on how the interview went and how much you're enjoying the show. You can contact us on any of our social media, which you can find here. You can also join our Discord channel where we have new members joining us. We would like to say welcome to our new members. We're very much enjoying them being with us. And we do discuss not only the show, but cosplay and other random topics as they come up. It's a very lively chat room. You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, with any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, compliments, constructive criticisms, anything that you would like to say that will help us give you guys a better show. All we ask is that you guys do rate and review us on iTunes and share the show as best as you can with your friends. You can share our social media or you can share our page, which is cospod.org. Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying and we will see you guys in episode 171. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.